Well, I don't want to do any foreshadowing here this morning, but I think most of us know what it's like to be behind the wheel of a car driving during a snowstorm. We may get a chance this week, I understand. It can be really hard to see the lines on the road in front of us, much less what's around the next bend, not to mention what's over the next rise. I think it's fairly safe to say that we're living in something of a snowstorm these days. Pretty turbulent, stormy times we're living in. Storms both literally and figuratively raging all around us, and it can be really hard to see the way ahead, much less what's on the horizon. I think many of us are driving through our days with a kind of tunnel vision, even a snow blindness, if you will, just trying to get home safely. In this morning's reading, Alice Walker reminds us that the legacy of our ancestors is the gift of the longer view, knowing that from their perspective, no matter what's happening in the moment, life is not over. In fact, it's barely begun. There's so much more over the horizon than anything that we can see right in front of us. And I just love the line, there are eternities waiting just beyond the next bad movie you fear you'll be starring in. Wow, how true is that, right? What you ruminate about as you're trying to go to sleep at night. The ancestors, they say, rest. Let us hold what you can't carry alone. Those of us who came before us carry the burden that we fear we can't carry alone, knowing that when we try to go it alone, that we lose our way. We can't see. We lose our perspective, knowing that the only way forward lies in seeing the bigger picture, taking the longer view, a view that includes all of us. Look around you this morning. One of the reasons I love church is because it's an opportunity for me to come out of the blinded existence of my daily life and be with all of you, to think about how I fit into a world that's larger than myself. I was reminded of this legacy not too long ago when I watched the first couple of episodes of Ken Burns' documentary on country music, believe it or not. I don't know how many of you had a chance to see it. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. Country music has its roots firmly planted in the many traditions and cultures that came together in this country, mixing and merging and blending sounds as distinct as African spirituals and Irish ballads. Taking the longer view, country music includes all of the ancestors, all of us. Country music is, at its heart, folk music, music of the people, telling stories that capture everyday experiences and feelings, giving people an emotional outlet, especially during hard times. There was a tremendous surge in the popularity of country music during the 30s, and we all know that the 30s were a time of great turbulence in our country. By 1933, the ravages of the Dust Bowl and the Great Depression left 13 million people unemployed, and one in four farm families had lost their homes, marking the largest internal migration, largely from rural areas to urban centers in U.S. history. And so naturally, people were nostalgic for what they lost, giving rise to music that gave voice to feelings of loss, lamenting and cherishing days gone by. And there was something about seeing all those old black and white pictures of destitute mothers flanked by small children, their weathered and careworn faces, shoulders stooped, carrying the weight of the world, juxtaposed with pictures of people dancing to a string band on Saturday night or singing hymns in church on a Sunday morning, that made me think about what we're facing today as a nation. And I can almost hear the ancestors saying, hard times have come again. The foundations on which we've built our lives seem pretty shaky these days. We know that people are suffering. We're suffering. But we've been here before. We've been here before. Pick up your head just for a minute and look around. The way forward is in the music we make together as life rises and falls and rises and falls again. It's written in the Tao Te Ching, the foundational text of Taoism. Work towards emptiness and openness. Cultivate stillness. Breathe harmony. Become tranquility. As the thousand things rise and fall, just witness their return to the root. There is a bigger picture, a longer view. Each breath that we take rises and falls. Each day rises and falls with the sun. At birth, we begin to rise as we grow, only to fall old into old age and death. The root is the flow. The root is the flow. The only constant, life's natural rhythm. The root of is the Tao, which simply translated just means the way. Living in harmony with the way is the unifying principle. Taking a longer view gives us perspective, a place in something larger than ourselves, knowledge that we of who we are and who we're called to be. The Tao Te Ching goes on to say, everything that flourishes dissolves again into the source. To dissolve back into the source is to find peace. To find peace is to recover our true nature. To recover our nature is to know the constancy of the Tao. To know the constancy of the Tao is insight. And it does feel like we've lost our way in some cases. That humanity's not moving in harmony with each other and with the planet. It can be hard to imagine a collective pause, taking time to stop and really look. According to the Tao Te Ching, peace doesn't come from railing against what is, though. It originates from learning to work in harmony with life. And it's actually a very internal, personal thing, this peace. Taoist wisdom tells us that if there is to be peace in the world, there must be peace in the nations. If there is to be peace in the nations, there must be peace in the cities. For there to be peace in the cities, there must be peace between neighbors. For there to be peace between neighbors, there must be peace in the home. And for there to be peace in the home, there must be peace in the heart. It begins here. And it's something that's always available to us. And I wonder, I really wonder, where we'd be as a nation, as cities, with our neighbors and in our homes, if we learned how to really engage one another with peaceful hearts. Peaceful hearts. The Tao Te Ching continues, insight opens your mind. An open mind is what leads to an open heart. Open-heartedness leads to justice. Justice is an expression of divinity. Divinity is oneness with Tao. Oneness with Tao is freedom from harm, indescribable pleasure, eternal life. Again, it begins here. It's an internal process. This opening of the mind, opening of the heart, and taking the longer view takes us and whatever we're struggling with out of the center, the ego part of who we are, and places us within a larger context. The longer view opens our hearts and minds so we can embrace that bigger picture, seeing the oneness of everything. And guess what? That's what leads to justice. When we really see that all is one, that our lives are connected, interconnected, that we're all one, then we'll realize the worth and dignity of all, and only then. And I've been thinking a lot about this in the context of the evolution of the anti-racism and anti-oppression work within Unitarian Universalism these days. There are times when the analysis of the dominant culture feels very personal, especially for people who have traditionally had a lot of privilege. It kind of calls to question who they've been, who they've known themselves to be in the world. And it can feel like, I think it can feel like, and I felt this on myself, it can almost feel like being attacked for growing up in a particular context, having a particular set of experiences. The analysis of the system taints the very essence of who we've come to know ourselves to be as good people and the work that we've done, regardless of our values. Now, feeling attacked never feels good. It can cause people to pull into themselves and brace against that storm kind of mentality, say, taking them into that place of tunnel vision where they're protecting themselves, setting themselves apart, making it harder for them to see the big picture, that longer view that actually connects all of us. And I'm wondering how we might begin to balance the need to do the analysis, which we certainly need to do, and the work that requires a lot of introspection, the willingness to really look at ourselves, how we can balance that with the need to recognize and remember that we're all in this together, that no one should be made to feel outcast. The other in this work, not people of color, not trans folk, not white folk, not cisgender folk. Anytime we otherize any group of people, we're objectifying them, dehumanizing them. And so there needs to be a both and here where we can balance the analysis of what we're doing and say, yes, this is true. But we also need to say, my whole worldview is shifting here, and it's not all that easy to try to ingest and digest that and work with that. And sometimes it makes me feel like, you know, I haven't really done everything right in my life, and that doesn't feel good. How do you deal with all of that while you're doing the analysis? I think one thing we need to do is take that longer view and realize that it's both of those things, the need to see the big picture of what's happened in our society, the dominant culture, and also the big picture that there's all kinds of us trying to engage in this work together and what it really means. The longer view allows us to be there for each other and to realize that we're all in this together. Knowing our lives are interconnected, that as Martin Luther King said, we are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, tied in a single garment of destiny. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And so we see that the personal experience of joy and sorrow, and the political, the larger picture of what's happening in our culture, are tied together. Now, when Julian of Norwich was around in the 14th century, this is the song that Jackie and I sang, was a conversation between a 14th century Christian mystic, Julian, and Meg Barnhouse, a Unitarian Universalist minister. Right? During Julian's time, what they were experiencing was the Black Plague. Nobody really knows much about Julian because there aren't really good records from that time, but historians think that Julian probably was a widow who had lost her entire family to the plague, and that she, at the age of 30, fell ill herself and had these visions of God. And the God that she experienced was loving and kind, and she experienced Jesus as the mother of all. Pretty atypical when you come think about Christian doctrine these days and what we come to learn about it, only to say that what we come to learn about Christian doctrine is a very tippity-tippity-tip of the iceberg of all the different kinds of experiences people have had with God and Jesus over the centuries. And so I encourage all of us to uncover that a little bit as we go. But basically, what God said to Julian was, all will be well. All will be well. Not that there isn't sorrow, not that there isn't pain, not that there isn't loneliness, not that there isn't shame, but that because we all experience all of those things, that's part of the rise and fall, that all is well, all will be well, if we can take that longer view, lifting our heads to see that we're all in this together, and that there's friendship, there's tenderness, there's a life of the Spirit that connects all of us, and above all, it's love. It's love that never ends. And so we're mindful as we think about this longer view of what connects us, what really connects us, that helps us transcend the immediacy of the storms raging all around us. And in the end, it's not the sense that all will be well, it's the sense that everything will be fine, because we know that's not true. That there will be no sorrow, no pain. It's that suffering is part of it all. In the same way, our universalist heritage speaks through this congregation's affirmation when we say, to dwell together in peace, to honor the earth, to serve human need to the end, that all souls shall grow into harmony with the sacred. Do you ever think about what that really means? It comes through us from our universalist heritage, but you can see how the roots go all the way back to Taoism. Right? All will be well through the Christian mystic, Julian of Norwich. All souls will grow into harmony with the sacred. The Tao, the way, God, whatever you want to call it. Country music, call it whatever you will. Nelson Mandela was in prison for 27 years for standing up for the worth and dignity of black Africans, and he had a very good sense of this longer view. In fact, his autobiography is called The Long Walk to Freedom, right? He writes, I am fundamentally an optimist. Whether it comes from nature or nurture, I cannot say. Part of being optimistic is keeping one's head pointed towards the sun, one's feet moving forward. There are many dark moments when my faith in humanity was sorely tested, but I would not and could not give myself up to despair. That way lays defeat and death. That tunnel vision of just seeing the suffering that's right in front of us is what leads us to despair. Right? Lifting ourselves up out of that and looking around is what helps us to transcend that suffering. John O'Donohue writes, we seldom notice how each day is a holy place where the Eucharist of the ordinary happens, transforming our broken fragments into eternal continuity that keeps us. Somewhere in us a dignity presides that is more gracious than the smallness that fuels our fear and force. A dignity that trusts the form a day takes. So I guess when y'all get right down to it, this is all about a radical sense of trust. That there's something holding us, whether it's the ancestors or God or the Tao or freedom or whatever. Something larger than ourselves that contains all of it and all of us. That dignity begins with our ability to look up and out, taking that longer view. Living in harmony with life's ebb and flow, with open hearts and minds. Using its peace as a source of justice. May it be so.